Put that sperm into your hand. Masturbation.
Sacrifice of yourself to yourself.
Yes. Yeah, that's most, like when Odin... Like when Odin hanged himself from a tree.
And and beat off. Barely, 'tis the only way I can come.
Well, they did talk about how in the American Gods book, when the first Vikings landed on the New World and they found an indigenous person and they, like, you know, hung out with him and then they got him drunk and they decided to kill him and they, like, hung him from a tree. And, like, they mentioned that he was, like, erect when he was passing away.
Happens, man.
It does.
And then you shit yourself.
Yes. I want to piss my pants. Well, that's better than pissing somebody else's pants.
I piss other people's pants all the time.
I'm pissing somebody else's pants right now.
Ha ha! Ha ha! Yeah, whenever you see those pictures of, like, people that drug lords have hanged, like, in a row, there's always, like, a pile of shit underneath them.
Yeah.
Because they shit themselves. Well, they didn't. They just shit. Because they were dead.
It is what happens. Mm. That's what happened when Chef died on
South Park.
South Park, yeah.
Yeah, it happened in an episode of John or the Venture Brothers. Race Bannon, like, they find his dying body, and he dies, and then shits his pants. And one of the Venture Brothers is like, "Oh, he crapped himself." Says, yeah, they don't talk about that much. Special Forces. Shit. Shitting yourself.
Yeah, making a poopy.
Making a pooping in the pants.
Pooping in the pants and pooping in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm a country boy.
Oh. Yeah, I get. So I don't know what happened, but I got the blue screen of death. But it turns out it was the blue screen of mostly death.
I mean, it's mostly dead. Mostly dead.
It's partially alive. So I was able to bring it back. So that's all good. And with that, hey, James.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, James.
Hey, Nick.
James.
Nick. 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 Oh, yes.
Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm going to take a nap.
And I'm Nick Moore, and you're listening to Dork episode 182. What's up, James?
Hey, I'm James Brown. Nothing much. I raged at the fucking traffic here in New Orleans for what should have been 15 minutes, what was closer to 23, I guess. I don't know. I didn't count exactly. But it reminded me of when I first got a car, because I was in college before I actually got a car. And, you know, my friends were all like, you know, James, he's like really easygoing. He's really relaxed and everything. And then I got a car and started driving, and like traffic just turned me into an evil fuck. And I just, because I would like yell at people like all the time when I was driving, and it would carry over into my regular interactions with people. And I'd settle down after a while, but you know, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty brutal in my car. It's a good thing that there's not a like a microphone in there that actually records what I say. There is a microphone in there for like speaker calls, you know, voice calls or my phone and shit, but. I hope nobody's recording that shit, because Jesus, man, I get fucking brutal. like old ladies are the ones that get it the worst. Like I just like if they could hear it, they'd just die immediately. Because I get into it. Because they're terrible drivers and they get in my way. I mean, you know, if I'm in the far left lane, that should be just obvious. Unless you're doing 80, don't be there. And don't cross two lanes of traffic to get into the left lane for no reason when you're doing 60.
Yeah.
Because I will drive my truck directly up your ass. And I don't care. Get the fuck out. I got time for this.
I got time for this shit.
I do not. Fuck right off.
Yeah. It's a good thing. I mean, if I had like a laser cannon or like a plow on the front of my vehicle and just like would go with impulse as they come, you know, actually, I'm sure at some point someone would murder me on the road too. So I would murder like 10 or 12 people and then I would get killed. And then, you know, eventually there'd only be like five or six cars on the goddamn road. This is probably why.
I think it would chill out way before that. Like the really timid drivers would just quit driving.
Yeah. You know?
And the super aggressive drivers were just like, there'd be that thing where like, I'm an aggressive driver and this guy's like coming up on me. And do I feel like blowing him up? I'll scoot over, you know, like it would, I think it would balance out.
Hopefully. I wonder if that has to do with like why like Japanese people are so like polite and everything, because there's a very large percent of them that use mass transit. And so they don't have to worry about making driving decisions all the time. And so they don't get as angry with people. I don't know. I'm sure.
They get polite fast, like early, like they clean their own classrooms in school. That's one of those things where it's like, that's part of your day. You clean the classroom, you know, like you take care of the upkeep. And so that is ingrained early. Like there was a, there's a video called a Hamurai, like samurai, but with an H.
Yeah.
Of this kid on the subway, and he's like spitting sunflower seeds on the floor of the subway train, right? And this other guy's like yelling at him. He's like, "Hey, that's very disrespectful. You shouldn't be spitting seeds on the sunflower on the subway. This is a public area. You're being very rude." And the kid's like, "Shut up." And the guy's like, "Well, no, I will not shut up. You're being very rude. What you're doing is rude." And then, like out of nowhere, right, this dude dressed like a samurai, and the guy's like in his 50s. He's dressed full on like a samurai, comes from like down the other end of the car, and he's got a hammer in his hand, and he hits the kid in the face with it and starts going, "Stop spitting seeds. It's very rude. You're being very rude." And like hits the kid 3 or 4 times with the fucking hammer. And the train like gets to a stop, and the kid like runs out. But, you know,
like what kind of hammer is it? Is it like a
claw hammer,
like a regular hardware claw hammer?
It's just called Hammer Eye. It's very satisfying because you're like, this kid's being a dick.
Yeah, it was very satisfying.
I guess hit in the face with a hammer by the Hammer Eye.
Hammer Eye. The Hammer Eye is code.
You know, also Asian people are more docile naturally. I say that because I saw in my developmental psychology class, saw a video of you have a Chinese baby, right? Like a day old. And an American baby. And they're one day old. And they put a handkerchief over the American baby's nose, and the kid starts swatting at it immediately. Like just, get that shit out of my face. I ain't got time for this. And then they show the Chinese baby, put the handkerchief over the Chinese baby's nose, and he breathes through his mouth. So I'm not saying environment doesn't play into it, but there's a little bit of preloaded hardware, you know, software in there.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know what? If I don't have to swat at this guy, I have to swat at this guy. Yeah. He could have been a Buddhist monk that just got downloaded, which is like, all right, new life. What is this? It's cool. It's in. Whatever.
Yeah.
So you went to the zoo yesterday, which is why we're recording on a Wednesday.
Yeah, we had some technical issues, some of which came from the sky and some of which, you know, came from a bus driver deciding to take a nap and leave leave some fans inside running so the battery would wear down.
So how was the zoo?
It was interesting. I mean, there were animals there, so that was cool. And I spent it with, you know, I had a group of like 4 kids that were assigned to me, and you know, there was 20 something kids total around there. So like we split up into groups, and like my kids, like we went to go see the otters get fed, and visited the Monkey Hill and saw some rhinoceroses and some aquatic turtles. You know, it was good. It was everything you expect a zoo to be.
That's cool. It's a good zoo, the Audubon Zoo.
It is a good zoo. I didn't get to see the llamas, which is what I was really looking forward to, because apparently they have a brand new herd. And I have a friend that I have a private joke about llamas with, but I will not be able to share that with her because now I have not seen the llamas at the zoo. So I have to go back at some other point.
Do they still have that butterfly atrium there?
They have one at the insectarium. I did not see one at the zoo.
Is that a separate thing from the zoo?
Yeah, it's the insectarium is over on Canal Street, and you know, it's not, it's a couple of blocks away from the aquarium, which are both like several, you know, a mile and or a couple of miles away from the zoo.
Yeah, it's a different place. I thought it was in the zoo.
Yeah, but it's all like part of the Audubon thing. Like you can buy like an Audubon membership and get discounts at all the places, or maybe passes to all the places. I don't know how all that stuff works because I don't usually go a lot, but I went to the zoo because, you know, it was free for me and only like $5.25 for the kids.
That's very reasonable.
I concur. And they had really good ice cream, which is what you go to the zoo for. It was actually Häagen-Dazs. So
Häagen-Dazs. Did you see the gorillas?
I didn't see the gorillas, but I saw the orang-utans.
The gorillas are right on the other side.
I don't know.
There's two pits. There's one pit, it's orangutans, and then the other side is gorillas.
Blue pit, red pit, two pit. Yeah. Well, if the gorillas were there, then I didn't see them because we walked all the way around the Asia area, which is where the orangutans were. I did see the Amur leopard, A-M-U-R, which there are only like 600 in the entire world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And those are fucking beautiful animals. If you
because like, they're so delicious.
But if you if you like have an idea of what a leopard is and then make it sexier, that's an Amur leopard. And the tail's a little longer and like the color's a little brighter. And
yeah, they look almost reptilian.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. And there's a they had like a little like paper mache sheep that they had put some actual like sheep wool into, and they're like, we're gonna let the leopards out, and then like they're gonna attack the, you know, the sheep. And then the leopards came out and like one of them went up to the sheep and like stretched and was like just, you know, like
wildly
what
unimpressed.
A boring day. Yeah, it did. He did knock it over a little bit, but then like the female leopard was all like, what are you doing? Just go back. This is not worth it. Just go away.
This isn't real.
And then, but then she tried to attack a photographer that was like right on the other side of the cage. And like, you know, it was like, you know, she like went for the fence and he was like, you know, 5 inches from the other side of the fence. And he didn't flinch from the fence when she tried to attack with her, you know, fiercely. But I'm sure he got some really good pictures.
Arr, I'm a leopard. I know this. Yeah. I'm here. I'm taking pictures of you.
I'm sexy leopard.
Sex bird. I did not go to the zoo.
No.
I did go to the unemployment office.
Oh yeah.
Which it's exactly what you think it would look like. I understand that like unemployment is not the sexiest side of government, but it is part of government. Why?
Okay. Before we go any further, can I ask you what you think is the sexiest part of government?
Health and human resources.
Oh. Okay, that's legit. That's legit. Okay. No further questions, Your Honor. Go on.
No. Okay. So like, you know, you got all the government buildings downtown, right? Like they're fancy pants buildings and, you know, with offices and carpeting and like, you know, money has been spent.
Correct.
The Louisiana Workforce Office is a goddamn shell of a building in a shitty part of town. Like they had they had printed up paper that said entrance that they taped to the front door. Like I get it. You know, it's the unemployment office, but like it's spend a little money. Like everybody in there had a shitty chair. Like, and I walked in and like, it just like, it was like an old like the inside of the building didn't really have a whole bunch of walls. It was all cubicles, but like not in any specific order. And they were kind of like shitty in that they were like the cubicles that, you know, Parks and Recreation had 2 years ago, and they were like, ah, we're done with these. You know, like the whole thing had a feel of just like the least amount of effort possible. And you'd think, you know, if your whole purpose, and the people that I talked to there were like, they were really cool. The lady that I spoke with, she was like a poli sci major, and she's very bright, LSU graduate. Like, you know, she wasn't a dumb dumb. They didn't just grab some idiot. And like she genuinely was interested in helping people find work. which is what this was. This was like, if you do unemployment for more than 2 weeks, you have to go in and you fill out a thing where you say, like, this is my, you know, these are jobs I'm looking for, and this is how I'm going to get these jobs.
Yeah.
Basically to show that you're putting an effort, right? And then if you're still on for like 6 weeks, they bring you back in to say, did you do these things? And you say, yes. And then they say, okay. That's literally what she told me. Mm-hmm. Because I surprised the shit out of them by showing up early and prepared. Like, I had all the things they asked me to bring, and I had answers for all their questions. And they're like, oh, well, like, the chick was literally like, okay, look, just, we have to fill this out. But you're fine. I mean, this, like, you know, I don't think they get a whole lot of people that come in and are just like, yes, I'm actually awaiting information on an interview right now. I've had a couple of jobs that I'm actually waiting to hear back on while I'm waiting for this one. And, you know, I don't think that's the norm. But they have taken great steps at making sure people, you know, they help find people jobs. Like, they're doing their job, but they're doing it from like a shitty office. And I don't feel like that's cool. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they should have a nice office. They're working their asses off. They seem to get, you know, it was kind of quiet when I went, but it seemed like they had a stressful day up to that point.
Yeah. They seem a little bit haggard.
Mm-hmm. But like the chick that I was talking to, like, her glasses were broken. Like, the stem had broken off the left side and it was taped on. Like, she had just taped it on, so they were sitting awkward. She's like, yeah, they broke today. Like, it's fine. But like, I mean, come on. If you're listening right now and you work in government funding, maybe throw a little bit toward the LA workforce. Those ladies are working. They're working hard.
They're working hard for the money.
They seem very interested in finding work for the people that come in there.
They work hard for the money, so you better treat them right.
I'm fine.
But yeah, I had to go because I'm still drafting unemployment. But hopefully for not much longer. I've got to put in a resume with something that seems... It's the most fruitful possibility yet.
Oh.
It's like one of those things where I'm like, I can't think of a job out there that takes all of my work experience and my degree and general, you know, history and shit that for the last 15 years and puts that somewhere. And this one lady I know that actually works in talent acquisition was like, actually, I think I have something. And she told me that when I first got laid off, I guess at this point it's like 6 weeks ago.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean,
time fucking
stick
flies.
In there. Hang well, in there. Stick in there.
But when I said that I got laid, well, the average is 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
So like when Carol told me that when I first got let off, I was like, no, there's no way. And here we are. It looks like it's going to be about the 2 month mark before I get back on.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's accurate for me as well.
Yeah. But it blows. I hate it. If it wasn't for Shipt, I'd be losing my goddamn mind. Plus, I've been doing the work for the theater. That's been keeping me busy. So, you know, that's the important thing. Like, I don't like being sedate. I don't like not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The first day when I got to sleep in late, I was like, all right. Well, I don't feel comfortable about that. So, but yeah.
Yeah, the novelty wears off of that really quickly.
Real fast. Yeah. So like when I first got laid off, the first day, this chick messaged me. It's like, hey, send me your resume. I did. She's like, okay, well, here's some job openings, but what I really think you'd be good at is this department, but they don't have any openings right now. So we'll see if something pops up. And last Friday, something popped up. And she hollered at me. She's like, hey, send me your resume.
Hello.
Yeah, and she got it through. And there's another woman that works there that also like knows somebody and knows me and like got a backing. So that's in the pipeline. And they're waiting for requisition to come through to back hire that job. And then as that goes through, blam, diggity boo. It sounds great.
Blam diggity boo. Yes.
Yes. And it'll be like a job. I think I'll get a name tag, like with a security pass on it, and a cubicle in an office building. James, it's so exciting.
Ooh. Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. How neat is that? So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, did I tell you
what? Go.
No, you finished.
You go.
No, I just wanted. I told you I'm getting a new job. Right, I'm starting a new job after Memorial Day officially.
Yes.
But I've like started like going there after school to like, you know, do some like orientation stuff. Yes. So like I've actually like seen my desk and everything, and I get like my own office, which I was like, I did not expect an office. It's got a big glass window and a glass door, but so it's pretty transparent, so I can't like fuck anybody in there. But it's still like, you know, an office with like a closed door or like door that closes. So that's cool.
Put blinds in, man.
There are blinds, but I need to put blinds on the door as well, because the door is a pretty big accessibility point or visibility. And
you can sleep with your dick out.
I can rock out with my cock out.
Bam. Yes.
I can hang out with my wing out. I can
stick out with your dick out.
Yeah. Weenus out with my penis out. By the way, my new employers do not know about this podcast. Just to let you know, in case you're wondering.
You know, that's for the best.
Yes, I think that would be best.
Because I don't know if I told you, I applied early on, like week one, I applied over at 225. Because they were hiring, and a friend of mine works there, and she's like, oh, you'd be great in this job. Like, we have an opening here. You'd be perfect. And she told her boss, and her boss was like, yeah, send me his resume. That sounds great. And I did. And it made it all the way to the owner. Juan, I think, is what's his fuck? I don't know his name.
We'll go with that. That's fine.
Yeah. But it got to his desk. It hit his desk. Because everybody else was like, yes, this guy's great. It hit his desk. And he's like, oh, he works for Red Stick. No.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Specifically. He didn't look at anything I had done, nothing. He just saw, because I have Red Stick on my resume. I've worked for Red Stick for 14 years.
Yeah, and like that's like relevant experience.
Mm-hmm. And a rather large portfolio of Red Stick stuff. And he apparently is a little titty baby with no sense of humor.
Yeah,
because we've made fun of some of 225's things.
Well, I mean, they do make it easy.
Yeah, they do. And he's a little bitch. So I can say that because he's never going to hire me for anything ever. So whatever, bitch, you can eat a dick. But yeah, it was specifically because I had written for Red Stick, and he was like, yeah. Just like that. That's how I imagine it was. This resume make my pussy hurt.
Oh,
I can't have that. My aching sandy vagina.
Sandy vagina. Wasn't that like one of the characters in that Western?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Carol and I are going to go see Dita Von Teese.
Oh, Didi Von Teese, going to tease the burlesque.
Yeah, she's going to be in Houston like in June.
Oh,
and Carol was cool. Like, oh, I want to go so bad. I was like, let's go. Let's go do it. We haven't fucking taken a trip in fucking ever. I'll go look some titties with you. Let's do this. Oh. She's like, it's burlesque. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll go watch a titty show with the wife.
Titties.
It's not titties.
Make fresh, me feel
fashionable
good.
And pretty. It's a burlesque show.
But
it's boobs. Yeah, boobs. But it's not that kind of show. It's art. I agree. It's fart. And I'm bringing singles, which I think is frowned upon. Yeah, I don't think Dita Von Teese would really appreciate me throwing singles on stage. Like, there's assigned seating, you know, you buy your ticket, and you have to sit here. You can't get up to the stage and throw ones. I don't think. I'll let you know.
I mean, who would object to have money being thrown at them in general, you know?
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think it's just polite.
I concur. It's pure courtesy.
I love your art. Sign my tits.
Titties. Titty, titty, bo-bitty, banana, fanna, fo-fitty, me, my mo-mitty.
I think that is frowned upon, James.
Titties.
Yeah, I think you can scream titties at Dita Von Teese. Titty Von Teese.
Well, let us put it to the test. When you're there, just, you know, at some point, just randomly scream out, titties!
Titties!
Yes. All right. What was the other thing I was going to talk about? Oh, yeah, there's a movie coming out.
What?
Mowgli. It's the Warner Brothers version of the Jungle Book story.
Oh, yeah, it looks brutal, huh?
It does. It's like the darkest version of the Jungle Book. Yeah. Which, you know, that's cool if they want to do that. But, I mean, did you see the live-action Disney one that came out a few years ago? Or a couple years ago?
I saw bits of it, but I didn't watch the whole thing.
It wasn't all sunshine and roses. There's a scene where Shere Khan takes out Mowgli's dad. He, like, throws him off a cliff.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's like, all right, when Mowgli gets the word, then he's going to come back, and then I can, you know, kill him. That's, like, his plan. Spoiler alert, by the way. Yeah, it's not – it's, like, fucking people, you know, like, characters. Characters die. I say people die. But, you know, people are – animals are people, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so – but, like, yeah, watching the preview for Mowgli, and, you know, it opens, and you hear, like, Christian Bale as Bagheera saying, like, and – I was tortured. I don't remember what the fuck he said, but it was, you know, pretty dark. But, I mean, do we need a dark version of the Jungle Book?
Well, the Jungle Book's pretty dark.
I mean, the first... I guess there are some dark things in there. There's actually something that happens in the first story that, you know, they don't talk about in any of the film versions.
Oh, the one where all the kids have sex in the sewer?
No, not that one. I thought that was Charles Dickens. But no, like, when... You know, imagine the Disney version, and you know, when Baloo and Bagheera like go to the where all the monkeys are to like fight them and like, you know, rescue Mowgli. And imagine if Ka the snake had gone with them.
Ooby-doo.
Yeah, and then like, trust in me.
I want to be like you.
Just in me. Yeah, and then after they like rescue Mowgli and they like knock out all of the monkeys. I mean, they didn't knock out the monkeys, and they just escaped them and, like, you know, whatever. Imagine if the snake went around and ate every single monkey.
It'd be really fat.
It'd be really fat, like dozens of monkeys. The snake was just like, you know what? I'm going to eat all these monkeys. Howm, 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 like all through the night. All you hear is, like, snake just going, howm, howm, monkey after monkey after monkey after monkey after monkey after monkey after monkey.
It's the law of the jungle.
It's the law of the jungle. It would be pretty intense, you know, and I don't know if they would get a G rating at that point, honestly.
It depends how funny it was to watch them eat the monkeys. Like Jumanji was brutal. That's a modern jungle tale.
It is.
And that shit was rough.
It was.
Van Pelt, man, he hunts fucking humans.
He's a killer. We actually watched that today. Today for the first time.
Allegory for Rob Williams' dad.
Oh, yeah.
You watched Jumanji today?
The second one.
The new one?
Mm-hmm.
The Rock?
With Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, I dug it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was fun, too. We watched it because like, it's the last 3 days of school. And
who gives a fuck?
Exactly. So we watched Jumanji. And then we put on Wreck-It Ralph, and some people watched it, and some people were like, I'd rather
shit,
and talk about shit, you know, whatever.
Speaking of Wreck-It Ralph, dude, they dropped like 8 minutes of gameplay from Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, yeah?
On YouTube, yeah. And Wreck-It Ralph is a summonable. So, like, at one point, they're having this big old fight in the Toy Story level at a toy store, and he summons Wreck-It Ralph, and, like, Sora hops on his shoulders, and Ralph like hops around making like brick walls everywhere he lands, and then he lands on him and smashes him, and that explodes out and takes out huge swaths of enemies.
Mm.
But it looks very cool. Like they, it's, I mean, been waiting a decade, so it better be fucking good.
Wow. You know what I would love to see, and I don't think I've seen one since, what, 2013? Is a, and you were there with me, actually. That was in 2013. That was like 2010. The video games live.
Mm-hmm.
See the video, them playing video game music in concert? Because yeah. the Kingdom Hearts bit in the last one I saw was pretty cool. Yeah, that was, I forgot what year that was. It must have been 2010. It was November
13th, 2010. Sounds right.
Yeah. I've known you for a fucking long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus.
I mean, we've known each other as long as I've known my wife.
You make it sound like I like delivered her to you or something.
Well, like so. This, you know, everything in my life is BC. Like before Carol, and then like, you know, the modern age.
Yeah. Well, I can't use that because like BJ is like a different use for to describe something different than saying before Jane.
No, I think it works. There's BJ and then there's no more BJs.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Ah, fellatio. Suck it. Is she there now?
She's in the other room, but she's on the phone.
Jane!
She's on
blow Jane!
I have headphones on.
Oh.
The door is closed, and she's also on the phone. So
she will know. She can feel it in her teeth. Jane! Jane, come give James a blowjob. It worked? Is she coming? She's going to poke her head in the door and be like, what?
It takes a little bit more than that to make her come.
Dildos. Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation, baby. That's choke crazy. Your airway off.
Slowly.
Do it slowly.
Go slowly. Don't. If your eyes roll back in the head, you stop. Unless she taps you and is like, no, keep going.
Did you ever see Strange Days?
Yes. That was, you know, not the future that happened.
No.
In fact, they had a lot of technological expectations for the year 2000 that just, you know.
Yeah.
Did not come to be. But on the upside, gas wasn't $15 a gallon as predicted.
Oh, yeah. That's an advantage.
So. Yeah, that was a good movie, though. I remember it fondly.
Yeah, that one has one of the scenes in there that like always like sticks with me is being like a really like this is how you do a scene in a movie. Like a very like, you know, this is how you do the cinematography and the sound effects and whatever the fuck else. And it's like I think I may have talked about it like, you know, before. But that's the scene where, you know, like William Fichtner and is it Vincent D'Onofrio? Isn't there?
No, it is fucking, what's his name? Natural Born Killers.
I mean, I know Tom Sizemore is in there.
No, it is Vincent D'Onofrio. He's one of the cops.
He's one of the cops, yeah. Yeah, Tom Sizemore is a, you know, different character. But yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio and William Fichtner are in there as these cops that are like, have done something. I don't even remember what they did. But at one point, they realized
They killed an activist.
They killed an activist. And at one point, they're like, I want to say chainsawed to each other, but handcuffed to each other, which is an entirely different thing. And they get, you know, they realize that the jig is up, essentially. And Ralph Fiennes is over there saying, I've upped the jig on you. And William Fichtner's response is to, like, you know, take his, you know, his handgun and, like, shoot himself. And so he's dead, but he's still handcuffed to
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Vincent D'Onofrio. And Vincent D'Onofrio is like, my solution is I'm going to kill this motherfucker. And so he takes out his gun and he starts moving towards Ralph Fiennes, but he's dragging William Fichtner's dead body behind, you know, behind him. And like that particular image is like something that's like whenever I think of that movie and whenever I think of like, you know, what is like a perfect scene of like, you know, someone, you know, someone like, you know, getting, you know, them both having the same stimuli, like, hey, the jig is up. And like one's reaction is totally opposite of the other's. But like still like you understand both motivations and just like you're like in that scene is like, oh, I understand that, you know, maybe I'd kill myself here. Maybe I'd kill somebody else here. But, you know, that like that particular image, the way it was shot is just like very memorable for me. And that is an extraordinary, extraordinary spoiler, which I probably should have said beforehand. But, you know, whatever.
For Strange Days, didn't that come out in 95?
99.
It came out in 99?
Well, maybe it was 95 because it was set in 99. I think it was set in 99.
Yeah.
I've already got fucking IMDb open on my goddamn computer. Strange Days. Yeah, 1995, which I should have known because I remember watching it in a place that I only lived in 1997. So, excuse me. A little burp in there.
But yeah, for those of you that don't know, Strange Days is a movie wherein Ralph Fiennes plays a dealer in... I don't remember what they called it. It's a very Philip K. Dick kind of story. And that, like, definitely. So you can put this little, looks like a scalp massager thing on your head, and it'll record your everything that you're experiencing. And somebody else can pop that on their head. You can like take the tape, because I remember it was like little cassettes.
Yeah.
Little mini cassettes that recorded it. You could pop that into your player and experience what they experienced. Like exactly like you were there.
Right. So if you wear one of these things and you run a marathon and somebody takes your tape of it and puts the thing on, they can like experience your running of the marathon and like feel like they are running the marathon.
Yeah. So people can buy it's all on the black market because it's illegal.
Right.
For some reason. I cannot.
Well, I don't know if it's like illegal specifically, but the ones that he dealt with were like people doing illegal shit. Like the first one he deals with is like these people like were like doing a bank robbery.
You're robbing a bank. It was a blackjack because the dude falls off a building at the end and dies.
Yeah. And that part in particular, like, I don't know. I don't deal with this shit.
I don't do with blackjacks.
Yeah.
But no, like all of it's illegal because
street hustler.
Yeah. Well, when he whips it out on the, I guess it was chief of police or whatever, the commissioner. He's like, that's illegal equipment. I could arrest you for it. Like, because all of it's illegal. Like, and I guess it's for illegal surveillance or whatever. I don't remember how they justified it. But like, he sells it. Like, he's pimping out his gear to this, you know, timid looking guy who wanted to try it. And what he plays for him is a 18-year-old girl taking a shower. And that's the one that he has him experience. And so you have this like sweaty bald dude sitting in it's like a booth in a corner of a bar. And he's like rubbing himself. And it's really, really fucking awkward.
Yeah.
And he takes away. He's like, yep, there you go. Like clicks him out of it. He's like there. And you're just an 18-year-old girl taking a shower. Imagine what I could, the experiences I could give. You ever wanted to like, yeah, there's a whole, I remember from the trailer, there was a whole speech he did. That they had in the trailer. Hold on. It was a neat premise, but like something that I, you know.
Yeah. It's probably in the quotes on the
yeah, I'm digging around for it.
IMDb.
But like if you ever want to see Tom Sizemore in a shitty wig, that's the movie to see it. It's weird. It's a weird flick. But if you haven't seen it, 1-2-See.
You're talking about the one where he's talking about being the priest and the shrink and the main connection to the switchboard of the soul?
No. Let's see. Say Lenny was his name. I forgot that.
Lenny Nero.
Jericho 1. That was the name of the activist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The guy's killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You pulled over the wrong black man, officer Stickler. I'm the 800-pound gorilla in your midst, fucker. I make more money in a day than you make in a whole year. And my lawyer loves sending sorry-ass Aryan RoboCop fuckers like you to jail.
Yeah, there you go.
I played Jericho 1. Was it that black guy?
It was the dude... Oh, he was in. He was in. Yes, that's the first one I went to too. But he's done other stuff. But he kind of plays that same character, like angry. Wow.
Glenn Plummer. You keep looking for that.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
Oh, he was in Speed too. He was the guy with the Jaguar or whatever, the expensive car. That gets that Keanu Reeves commandeers and then like runs the door off so he could like jump from easily from the car to the bus to get onto the bus.
Maybe that is the quote that I was thinking of. See, I can get you what you want. I can get you anything. You just have to talk to me. You have to trust me. You can trust me because I'm your priest. I'm your shrink. I'm your main connection to the switchboard of the soul. I'm the magic man, Santa Claus of the subconscious. You say it. You think it. You can have it. But I remember there's like a longer, sexier cell of it. It was kind of like a techno take on the Pusher Man.
Yeah. I'll get you anything you want, man. Yeah, because I can also like picture them like talking about just, being like a pimp.
Yeah. Interesting movie. Like a lot of tech is. There is a game coming out at the end of this month. I don't know if you've seen the Red Band trailer for it, but I suggest you watch it. It's called Agony, and it's set in hell.
Really?
Like, you're a damned soul, and you are trying to escape hell. And they took a step beyond Hieronymus Bosch and were like, no, let's really make it look like hell. Like, what would hell be like? Well, it'd be god-awful. And boy, howdy, have they done it. I showed the trailer to a guy from the theater. I was like, we were talking games, and he just played God of War. He's like, it's the best game I've ever played. He's like, it's just epic. So I guess I'm gonna have to play that shit next. But
yeah, I heard like, really good things about God of War.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you here? This is the next one I'm gonna play. And I showed him the trailer for it. And he's like, dude, I can't even. I'm gonna have nightmares now. I can't imagine playing that every day. But it looks god awful. Like it looks like hell. Yeah.
I'm flipping through images of it right now just to.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
I've been playing Far Cry 5, and it's gotten to where I'm like pretty comfortably sniping these cultist guys from like 300 yards out. So it's getting to that edge where I'm like, okay, I've gotten good at it. Let's go ahead and beat it and call it quits. And move on to hell.
No, hell.
I mean, we all love Doom. And this is like, okay, let's do Doom, but without all the guns and shit.
This looks really disturbing.
Right?
This is like Clive Barker meets, Clive Barker's fucking nightmares. This is what this looks like. Looks like Clive Barker, like, went to, did all his, like, Hellraiser shit and then, like, went to sleep and had some bad turkey and just brain, like, fucked him in the ass.
Yeah, it does feel very much like Clive Barker's Books of Blood, like level of hell shit. Like, I can't remember the last he put out a book. It was the last Pinhead book. Like, he's like, I'm gonna kill this motherfucker, and Pinhead like goes through hell and finds Satan and steals his armor and shit, and like tries to escape. And Satan's like, no, I don't think so. Get off me, bitch.
Yeah. Have we talked about
this? Oh, yes. Continue.
Sandman Slim books.
Sandman Slim?
Yeah.
That sounds very familiar.
The first one is it's basically this guy that like kind of knows magic, but he gets really good at it, and his friends who also know kind of magic get jealous of him, and so they kill him. They don't kill him. They send him directly to hell. They like transport him to hell, and he spends like a few years there, and I don't remember exactly how many, but he like gets really good at surviving because it's fucking hell, and he like finds his way back and decides to like kill all the motherfuckers that did this to him, and he uses some really dark magic to do it. The the book, the first book is written, I mean, they're all written first person, and they're the first one was like done like almost like real time. Like you can imagine if they did a movie of it, it would be kind of like 24, where they like follow him around for, you know, 24 hours and like gets all this shit done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things he has is like this black blade that only kills when he wants it to kill. So even when he like cuts off his friend's head, the head stays alive. And he like keeps it around like in a bowling ball bag. And
Andy?
Yeah, that's Andy. So it's I got kind of tired of the series after the third or fourth book because, you know, they went to hell and like he was like doing all bastard things. But the first one is fucking a rip-roaring ride. It's incredible.
I will check it out. Is there an audiobook version?
Oh, definitely. And the guy that does it, McLeod Stevens, has a really good voice for it. It's perfect. It's perfectly done. So
like, the first one's called Sandman Slim?
The first one's called Sandman Slim. Yeah, I definitely recommend the first one without hesitation, reservation, or any information. You get some education with elucidation.
Let's see.
I'm fine. Yeah, Sandman Slim. It's good.
Search for a good book. I don't want a good book. I want a bad book.
Did you read the what was the name of the book about the robot apocalypse? Maybe it's just Robopocalypse. Was it
Robopocalypse?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you listen to it or did you read it?
I listened to it.
Yeah, the same guy that narrates that narrates Sandman Slim. Pretty sure. If memory serves.
Man, it doesn't have the first one. An Audible.
Oh, they don't?
Mm-mm. It's got book 2, book 4, book 6, and book 5 in that order, but they don't have book 1.
Well, I know I was listening to Audible by that time, so I had to have... Let me check my goddamn app.
That seems weird, right?
It does seem weird. Maybe it became unavailable for some reason.
Why would it?
I don't know.
There it is. I just put in Sandman, and it brought it up. Sandman Slim.
Okay, what did you put in before?
Sandman Slim.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, two words.
No, I mean, you'd think like if I would just put in both words, it would
I don't work. Know, man.
McLeod Andrews. Did they say McLeod Stevens or McLeod Andrews?
McLeod Andrews.
Yeah, what did I say before?
McLeod Andrews, okay, I think.
Good. We'll go with that.
So yeah, anyway, I downloaded it. Bam. I have credits hanging around. So I'm always looking for a reason to blow those. Yeah. James?
Yes, sorry. I was looking at the ones that McLeod Andrews had done, and he did Robogenesis. Did he? But I'm pretty sure he did Robopocalypse. No, Robopocalypse was done by multiple people. Maybe. I don't know. But Robogenesis was a good sequel to Robopocalypse. But he also did the Brandon Sanderson Steelheart trilogy, or the Reckoners trilogy, which is the first one was Steelheart, which is a good set of books as well. So
what is that about?
That is about it's about people getting superpowers, but like using the superpowers makes you evil. So the more somebody uses their powers, the more evil they become. And so, as you can imagine, the entire world gets taken over by supervillains. And Steelheart is like one of the most powerful supervillains, and he takes over Chicago. And like the main character is like this guy that's like he like hoped for a day when superheroes would come and like save people. And I think I may have just spoiled a major key plot factor by saying that the way I did. But anyway, there's a bunch of supervillains, and the Reckoners are people that take out supervillains, and they're led by a guy. Sorry. You ever been in the middle of a sentence and you're like, if I finish the sentence the way I intended to, this is going to be even besides what I may have just already spoiled for people. There may be like another component that I'm like totally ruined the book for. So,
Yeah, it sounds like you destroyed a pleasurable experience for a lot of people.
I only destroyed like one third of it, maybe. So like there's still plenty of stuff to enjoy in that. And it's done really well. And the main character is a really likable character. Just like so like following his adventures and misadventures is a fun ride. So I'm just gonna stop talking about stuff that people don't know about. Let's talk about like Citizen Kane or Wizard of Oz or some shit.
Way to go, James.
Yeah.
You're the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah. Well, I have to go get dinner for Carol. So with that, I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I mean, Moore, you have been dorked.
You have been dorked.
Thanks for sticking around, folks.
I regret nothing.
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 I regret nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. My eyes, the goggles, they do nothing.
Jane, come blow James. Jane.
They'll blow me down.
Jane, you come give him a blowjob now.
I can find somebody else to do it. It's fine.
Jane, you come suck this dick.
I think what's funnier than you actually saying that is like imagine you like right next to me, like pointing at my crotch.
Jane! Jane, you see this dick? You come suck this dick! Jane! I'm pointing right at it.
Yeah, Jane! There's ever a movie about dork, that's definitely gotta be in the preview.
Jane, you come suck this dick! What did you say? I said suck it! Suck this dick! I just realized I'm screaming this really loud in my shop.
Your neighbor's probably like,
must be Tuesday.
Wednesday. There are two of my neighbors that are always outside.
Yeah.
Like just hanging out. And that there's no way they didn't hear that. So I'm going to go apologize to them. I'll talk to you later, James.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Yamaya! Thank you.